Hello, and welcome to a brand new episode of Databook, a Chief Healthcare Executive podcast. My name is Laura Jost, and I'm the editorial director at CHE. Today, Terry Casterton, Director of Healthcare Product and Strategy at Bottle Rocket, joins me. We discuss the latest Apple Watch features and who might benefit from them, the use of patient-supplied data in healthcare, the use of technological innovations in healthcare, and more. So Terry, thank you so much for joining me today. Can you give me a little bit of background on who you are and where you work?
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm so happy to be here, Laura, and thanks for the invitation. I work as the Director of Healthcare Product and Strategy at Bottle Rocket Studios and Ogilvy Experience. And I've been working in health tech in the digital space for my entire career, getting started in 2001. Holy cow. Feels funny to say that 20 years later, working on electronic health record implementations for Cerner, and have made a variety of different career moves during that time, all taking on progressively more accountability on the strategy and innovation side of healthcare, and also focusing in on the human experience, which I think is so important in healthcare, which has all led me up to my time here at Bottle Rocket and my interview with you today. So thanks for having me.
Great. Thank you. So today I wanted to talk about mostly what's going on with this Apple Watch. You know, there was just some news about some new features that they're going to be implementing. And for a long time, we've been moving towards making people's wearables a healthcare tool that providers can actually utilize, but we haven't quite gotten there yet. People haven't been pushing out the data, or providers don't know what to do with it. So how do you think this Apple update with the new features can maybe help to push us there?
Yeah, I think Apple, they're such a big player in this space, and they've been shaping the consumer experience beyond healthcare for so long. Love seeing what they're doing. Although I don't think this next round of updates is going to be help us hit that tipping point. I think it's going to help us near that tipping point, especially for some specific populations who treat very specific disease states. Let's just take, for example, the thermometer that's going to be coming out that can be used to assist with fertility planning. Women's health is a key service line for many providers practicing in community and academic medical centers. And given that it tends to be a more technically adept group of healthcare consumers, young females, I can see that group expecting to be able to give that information to their provider that they use on their Apple Watch and having them use it as part of their fertility journey. And if their providers can't use that, we're now in an age where people are making decisions on which healthcare provider they will utilize based on that digital experience, so they can really help shape how this technology is used. So I don't think it's going to be the universal solve. I do think it is going to be helpful for some specific specialties like women's health for the features that they're putting out.
And so, you know, in general, are hospitals, health systems, providers largely prepared to receive this data and take action on it, or are they not quite there yet?
You know, the optimist in me hates giving this answer, but I need to be completely transparent here. I don't think so. By and large, I think the answer is no. Most are not ready to receive this data and take action on it, at least not yet. Many are in catch-up mode with many different varieties of technology. But there are some things that bode well in the favor of getting ready to receive this data and take action on it. One of those things is Apple's foresight in creating the health kit on industry standards like FHIR that allows healthcare systems and other vendors to make it easy to be interoperable with the data. And that's an important component of building a strong foundation that can help use that data more swiftly moving forward. But that's just the receiving part of this equation. Taking action on it means we need a translation layer to make that leap from data to insight. What is not helpful to most providers is just getting a data dump, seeing how many steps a person has taken in the last 6 months, or what each of their individual blood pressure ratings has been for the last 6 months is a lot of data, and it takes a lot of time to sift through it. So it's less likely that it will get used at all. amalgamating that data and turning it into insights that drive informed decision making at the right time to make an impact on a person's care. Now, that is extremely helpful. For example, being able to keep tabs asynchronously on the blood pressure for a recently discharged heart failure patient and getting a notification when their blood pressure continues to rise for that 48-hour period after their discharge. That data set and the trend and the right alert at the right time helps them be informed to reach out to that patient to avoid a potential event before it happens. So going back to your question, are hospitals ready to take action on this data? I think not yet, but I think there's a lot of movement in that space to take giant sums of data and turn it into helpful information to drive action at the right time that will help be that jumping off point for more healthcare providers to take advantage of it.
So do you think that that lack of being able to translate the data is why the healthcare industry has continued to struggle with utilizing like technology like wearables? Because we've seen that, you know, there's been attempts and it just kind of hasn't really happened yet. And it hasn't really changed the way patients are interacting with like the healthcare system and their providers yet.
Yeah, I think it's definitely one of the components, Laura, that's playing into a little bit of a slower uptick on using it. I think there's a couple of other factors at play, one of which is standardization. If you're a primary care provider and you're seeing upwards of 20 patients a day, and for many primary care providers, it's 25 or more, and less than 10% of them have access to this kind of wearable technology, it really makes it challenging for a practice to put together the workflows, the systems, and the billing to make use of that data that comes through an Apple Watch, because they have to be so highly efficient and effective in engaging with patients, because they only have a short amount of time with them, that we really need to work towards standardization for all patients if we want it. We want to make that leap to full adoption. So that's one of the struggles, I think, standing in the way. And the other is the time for healthcare systems, healthcare providers, healthcare payers, all of the many players that are responsible and are tuned into these types of technology advancements. There's a limited amount of time. And looking at the giant portfolios that individuals are trying to manage, from cybersecurity to payment reform to the use of AI and machine learning, there's a lot of competition for time and resources to focus on wearables as part of healthcare. With time, as we get more reliable information, that data gets translated into information, I think that will be the right time to pull that lever to help also support more standardization. And once we overcome those two challenges, I see things really taking off in this space.
And quickly going back to the actionability, how do we judge or measure if this data that's being shared is actually useful? I mean, are there certain outcomes we should be looking for, certain changes we should be looking for?
Yeah, you nailed it. You said the magic word there, Laura, which is outcomes. In medicine, we are very data-driven individuals, and it's a very data-driven group of professionals. So with that, I think to know if it's useful, we should continue leveraging it. The proof is in the pudding. The proof is in those outcomes. And even better, we can tell if it's useful if care providers can more effectively oversee a larger population and intervene and guide with more specificity because they have the data to inform their decision-making and action. But there's many events that lead up to the improvement of those outcomes. And that's one of the things that I will definitely be on the look for as Apple continues to release these new features, because from prior versions of the Apple Watch, data indicates that after about 6 months of use, users tend to lose interest in the features and their adoption falls off significantly. So we need to get over that hurdle. But what happens when it's not just a device and you have a physician or healthcare professional involved in translating that data and using it to perform their care plan and inform their diagnoses? And that care provider takes advantage of the digital nudging that some of these wearable devices like the Apple Watch can provide outside of visits. I think that's potentially where we're going to see some real impact to outcomes. The watch itself isn't going to change the health of an individual, but a person committing to changing habits will change the health of themselves as an individual. And if we add components to support behavior change layers and well-designed tech and provider guidance are all working in tandem, then we can really see things take off. And that's what I'm most anxious to be watching for as more of these devices get out in the market and more people are using them.
Just in general, one of the probably only silver lining of the pandemic has been the general use of technology that has been increasing. You know, more people are getting used to using technology for their care, including older Americans who maybe hadn't been using it before. You know, is it different this time? Are things going to go back to normal when, you know, maybe the pandemic is under control, or is it actually going to be a new forward momentum?
Yeah, I think that's the question so many people are asking right now. Many people have different takes on it. My take is that the pendulum swung all the way over to the other side during the pandemic. And we're not going to go all the way back in the other direction. We're going to find a happier medium. The landscape has shifted even from mid-2020 to mid-2021, and that patients once again have a choice. They can go in person to see their provider, and they might like to do that, especially with older Americans. It's part of their social structure. They enjoy engaging with their provider, and we should do our part in this industry to help support their preferences. So I think the shift that I anticipate seeing is how might we leverage technology in a thoughtful way that doesn't remove the human experience, because many people still value that. But how can we leverage technology instead to shore up gaps in the continuum of care and make the most of the times when providers are needed? Going back to the data driving insights, let's not wait for that patient to present in their healthcare setting to intervene. Let's make sure they have that warm conversation that they enjoy with their provider and that trusted guidance. But let's use that tech to fill in those gaps so that visit with the provider can be focused on the most important things to the patient's health. That's where I think we're going to find that middle ground after the pendulum had swung all the way over to the other side.
And, you know, looking at tech in general, again, you had mentioned with the Apple Watch, that there are a specific group of people who are probably going to benefit more from this new feature. With wearables in general that are sharing data with providers and hospitals and health systems, is that something that will benefit all or most people, or really just those specific populations that have maybe a chronic or really burdensome disease?
Yeah, I think at least the entry point as we start working towards greater levels of adoption will be more on chronic condition treatment and making sure for patients who have high blood pressure or are on new blood pressure meds, for example, trying to keep it under control, that there's very specific functions targeted towards very specific chronic conditions to help. I do think, though, that what this opens up, this Pandora's box with these devices, is how much data we get from individuals to help drive, instead of being responsive with how we use these wearable devices, to being anticipatory. And as we move from reacting to anticipating, because we have so much data that we can apply AI and machine learning algorithms to, we can also spread to a greater part of the population and not just use it for individuals who have a diagnosed chronic condition, but instead to anticipate the chronic conditions before they occur. So I think we're on a set of stepping stones here that will get us to a larger population to be able to be served, but we got to start where we can start. The other thing that we should be mindful of as we think about the populations this can serve is the digital divide. $500, which I think is the going cost for one of the new Apple Watches, is not insignificant for a good chunk of the population. So that digital divide, especially from a socioeconomic status perspective, is something that we'll need to keep an eye out for. And I'll be curious to see how payers and providers who are in more value-based arrangements might, you know, start doling these out, because it's less expensive than the cost of an emergency department visit, for example. A lot to be seen and understood as we move forward, though.
Great. And then I had seen a recent report from Kaufman Hall. It had revealed that healthcare executives think that at the beginning of the pandemic, you know, there had been these huge changes. Now the momentum for these innovative services is starting to slow, and they're not really meeting those needs and demands of their consumers at this point. Is that something that you have also noticed?
I have noticed it a bit, although I would frame it a little bit differently, Laura, in the case that I would say there's a bit of slowing down happening, but I see it more as a time to slow down in order to speed up. For healthcare systems specifically, they're taking stock of all of the options that are out there in the digital landscape and making some decisions about what really will help them improve the health of a population and being thoughtful about where, when, and how to build out their innovation portfolios based on the markets they serve. And as you mentioned earlier in our chat, these are interesting times because there's been so much development over the course of the last 18 months between wearables to telehealth platforms, AI, machine learning algorithms, and the investments that healthcare systems continue to make in their electronic health records. There's a lot of stuff in the market and a lot of testing of point solutions. But there's business drivers out there for healthcare systems, for payers and providers to start looking at how do we bring all these point solutions together into a smooth consumer experience. In a different study that Forrester put out in 2020, they indicated that 28% of patients switched providers in 2020 due to a poor digital experience that leaves a patient feeling like they have a very fragmented care journey. So one of those areas that I do see speeding up to address that specific problem is in developing flexible enablement layers that tie all of these point solutions into one cohesive, engaging platform that drives better outcomes, creates efficiencies for care providers, and it also reduces the cost of care. So my forecast is there's some thoughtfulness going on right now, the taking stock and evaluating, but there's still much more innovation to come once folks realize where they want to put their innovation dollars and make it useful for the populations they serve.
Well, thank you so much for your time today.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of Databook. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Chief Health Exec and on LinkedIn and Facebook. Until next time, I'm Laura Jost.